friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I think we got the biggest defense of Kevin Stefanski to date. Yesterday we played, or 2 days ago, I don't know, time's a flat circle. We played Bruce Arians of the Pat McAfee Show, basically saying, I don't know how Kevin Stefanski still has a job. Well, the Morning Boys asked Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, about those comments. Baldy went hard in the paint for Kevin Stefanski.
No, I'm a big Bruce Arians fan. I'd like to see what Bruce Arians would do with this roster right now and all the rookies that are out. Would he be winning a lot more games, or all the turmoil that Stefanski has gone through? I mean, is that a fair criticism? If any coach, Belichick, Bruce Arians, Don Shula, give me a coach that would handle the situation that Stefanski has handled with as much turnover and upheaval as this franchise has had. Am I defending Kevin? Yeah, to a degree, but I would defend any coach. I don't care what their last name is. If they had to, you know, endure everything that's going on with this franchise right now.
He's the head coach. He's doing it to himself. I'm not saying he's the guy that has all the power in the world, but I will tell you, the people who today or this week have gone out of their way to go back to the excuse on Kevin Stefanski that Kevin has no power. It is embarrassing. It is mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
And
even in the Deshaun discussion in general.
Yes.
Like, we had Lindsay on, and I didn't correct her because I'm just tired of correcting people. But they were like, I think she said it's like, oh, we clearly know that it wasn't their decision. It's like, no, it's been reported a million times, guys. The Athletic, Cleveland.com, it's been reported a million times. The two of them brought the plan to Haslam. Haslam, yes, signed off on it, but they had the plan brought to them. It was a Stefanski-Berry idea.
Also, Kevin tried to fit Deshaun Watson into his offense for 2 years. Guys, that doesn't happen in the NFL. All right? It just doesn't happen in the NFL. Coaches scheme up to their talent and what they're good at all the time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I respect Kevin the human being, but this defense of him... even if he had no say in the quarterback room, which is impossible to believe, it's the NFL, it's a head coach. Just because he has less power than Kyle Shanahan doesn't mean the guy has no power. But like, specific to what Baldy said, Bruce Arians coached for 9 seasons in the NFL. Six of them he won 9 or more games. He won 6 playoff games. He has a 624 regular season record. I do think Bruce Arians could do a better job with this team than Kevin Stefanski could as currently constructed.
So he was knocking on the doorstep of what I think will be ultimately what a lot of national pundits do end up saying about Stefanski in this whole ordeal, is that he didn't have the weapons, he didn't have the guys. And here's where I would enter, once again, the guy that Stefanski's trying to emulate in Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan this season has no Purdy, no Ayuk, no Kittle, no Jennings, no Bosa, no Pearsall. Some of those guys are coming back interchangeably, but that's 6 of their best players by a long shot. They won 3 road games. They're 4-1. Like, you can still win games even if you lack the talent that people perceive for you to have. Like, I mean, he's got Mac Jones throwing 40 times a game. No quarterback in the NFL is throwing more than 40 times a game. He's got Mac Jones doing it and having success while doing it. It's not impossible, guys.
And here's the other thing. I know Kyle Shanahan has had, it feels like he's in the NFC title game or he's a 6-win team. There doesn't seem to be a lot of in-between for Shanahan. He's also been to the Super Bowl.
Twice.
He's also
with 2 different quarterbacks.
Been to at least one he's more taken, NFC title game.
He's taken both Garoppolo and Purdy to multiple NFC title games. Both of them went to 2 different NFC title games.
Like, we just need to continue to go back to the beginning on this. Kevin and Andrew walked into a roster with young Nick Chubb, young Baker, young Myles Garrett, young Ogunjobi, young OBJ, younger OBJ. He's not old. Older Jarvis Landry, young David Njoku, young Denzel Ward. Like, they walked in with not fully furnished, but mostly furnished roster. And they've got one playoff win and two playoff appearances and going on 6 years to...
Like, well, it's like so many people think that Stefanski's career just started at Deshaun Watson for some reason.
Yes. Well, not just that. I mean, it's just...
But even if it had, though, if it had just started at Deshaun Watson, it still isn't good enough. Like, if anything, that's the exclamation point of it not being good enough.
Well, and I think that's the point. With Stefanski, it's either he has to be all to blame for something or nothing to blame for something. It's like, listen, Deshaun Watson very clearly was a broken man when he came here. Both on the field and off the field, not playing for 2 years. He clearly was not in the right headspace. He never embraced Cleveland and vice versa back at him. And he was not ready to be the face of this franchise. But Kevin Stefanski also played him out of scheme and out of system for 2 years before a Hail Mary, where he hired Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator, who had already been fired because he couldn't get the job done with Check's notes. Josh Allen.
Yeah. At that point, all we'd ever seen was the him just exploding in the press box and making a fool out of himself. It's like, oh, that's the guy. Doesn't work with Josh Allen and explodes in press box. Hire that guy.
And here's another problem. All right? You don't just have to grade Stefanski off this season. He's been here for 6 years because you made a great point. Some people act like his career began here with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Some people are acting like you cannot address the previous 5 years as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, listen, if we want to have the conversation of, if we put in totality the 5+ years of Stefanski versus 5+ years of Barry, I think it's insane that this draft class could save Andrew Berry because he has been worse at his job than Kevin Stefanski has.
But at least he's pointing upwards, though. Like, if I'm making an argument for Andrew Berry, I'm saying maybe the light bulb went on and maybe he figured something out, because this last draft class was so good, or appears to be so good, that I'm like, all right. Because that's all I really want in life if I was assessing this. I want to see, are you getting better? Are you showing signs that you're understanding what your job is and you're doing better at it? And with Stefanski, guys, it's only gotten worse. With each passing year, it's only gotten worse.
And the point is not for me to sit here and shout, fire Stefanski. I know our buddy Randy Tolan on Facebook thinks that's all. Like, Randy, you can think critically and you can just criticize Kevin Stefanski when he deserves it, and you can give him praise when he deserves it as well, which is all I've ever tried to do.
But what's old Randy saying out there?
Probably some crazy bleep on Facebook, which is the only, in fairness to Randy, that's the only thing that is ever espoused on Facebook is crazy bleep. But like, the point is, there are so many people not having genuine conversations, meaning like, okay, what is Kevin actually responsible for? He either cannot be held accountable for anything, right? He's either a patsy or he's the biggest idiot ever.
Well,
he's neither.
That's the hard part, though, is that the Browns have so many cooks in the kitchen, though. It is hard to just dissect.
Including Glenn Cook.
That's right. Good call by you. if you sat on that one, that's very good. But nope, I think that was all spur in the moment.
Just, it's right there. You said cooks, and I was like, we got one of those.
Well, so even like you talk about Alex Van Pelt is spurring this, right? Is in between him to Ken Dorsey. Like, we know that Stefanski didn't want to get rid of Alex Van Pelt. That was not Stefanski's call. Stefanski wanted Van Pelt here, and the hiring of Dorsey was also not what Stefanski wanted as well. But most people would think to themselves, well, you're the head coach. You get to make these decisions. You get to figure it out. And it's like, so many parts of this, of his tenure here with the Browns has been, is that Andrew Berry making the call? Is that Stefanski making the call? Is that Dee Podesta making the call? We don't really know in any given moment, while they sell it under this umbrella of it all being collaborative, and it just leaves you feeling very uncertain about what you can and can't blame. And so I have to go to what you've actually shown us on the football field and the wins and losses and what that matters there. And there, sorry, Stefanski, you are just very underwhelming right now.
With respect to Brian Baldinger, Stefanski has not endured anything. He's the head coach of an NFL franchise. You can't endure something that you're putting upon yourself. And even if he's not, even if it's 45% Kevin, 50% Andrew, and 5% Haslam and Dee Podesta, he's got 45% of the power. And it's just 6 years in. If you try and have a conversation about the larger body of work, we got to focus on this year and give the guy a pass. If you try and focus on this year, well, no, but what about the other things he's done? It's just, there's just so many people lining up to give Kevin a pass. And I think it might just be because he's got two Coach of the Year awards, and it makes the conversation impossible. Like, I don't know, Kevin. I know. Let me put it this way. Andrew Berry still deserves to be fired more than Kevin Stefanski does. If we remove recency bias, Andrew deserves to be fired more. But Kevin is not clean in any way. They both deserve to be fired. But I can understand if Haslam says, I don't want to be looking for a GM and a head coach at the same time. I'm going to give Andrew a chance to get it right with the next head coach. Because that at least works in the NFL. You'll see the GMs get two or three head coaches before being shown the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That can at least track. But this idea that Kevin just, well, what else would somebody do with this? I guarantee you if we put Bruce Arians in the Browns since 2020 instead of Kevin Stefanski, Baker's still here. Baker's playing at the level he is at Tampa Bay. And you just do not have this herky-jerky up-and-down thing that you've had the last 5.5 years. And
yeah, well, Bruce is definitely a Baker guy too, though.
Yeah, absolutely, which makes me love him even more. But like, that's the other thing. When somebody says something critical of Kevin, why is the media then going and attacking that guy? Like, I've never heard Baldy go after somebody else in the media or another.
You mean everyone going after Bruce Arians?
Yes.
Wait, here, I'll tell you why. It's because Bruce Arians legitimizes that conversation in a way that most voices that you would hear just doesn't. You even heard Albert. When Albert was on with us on Tuesday, you can use Odyssey Rewind and go back and check it out. What did Albert say when we told him that Bruce Arians went off the way that he did? He was like, oh. Well, BA knows everybody. Yeah. BA is very well connected. BA, like, if BA's saying that, then yeah, there's probably some truth to the coaches across the NFL that are losing faith in Kevin Stefanski. It legitimizes it in a way that if you just heard a random national pundit A, B, or C say it, doesn't exist. And so that's why I think it hit the way that it did. It is somebody that has serious credentials, that knows more than 99.9% of people when it comes to coaching, and he's the one that's saying it.
I know we don't have a lot of runway to do this, but you came up with a strong question for people to answer. What do you think is the best defense of Kevin Stefanski?
No, I wanted your thoughts on this because I've been saying for the past couple of days, I think the best defense you get to make is that the man was delivered a 2-7 offsuit as far as players for this year. If that's his hand, it's hard to win the World Series of Poker that way. Like that's hard to pull off. And so he was almost dead on arrival this year. If you were trying to make that the case, you could argue that he never had a chance entering this season.
I don't have a defense of him or Andrew Berry that isn't, well, you didn't have a playoff win before they came here.
And that's kind of, I think, the point of the exercise. I mean, I'm very curious to find out what other people think on this because he has given us such little runway to actually try to defend him if we wanted to.
But yet, people in the national media still do. 216-474-0092. Baldy went hard in the paint. For Kevin Stefanski, the question here is, what is the best defense of Kevin Stefanski's 5+ years here? That and the quarterback Deadpool with Commissioner Jake Murren in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I need to hear that compliment.
I'd like to hear the compliment. He's been waiting a long time.
Could be a misdirection. Matt, one, thank you for waiting, buddy. Been a kind of crazy day. Two, JP's ready to hear your compliment.
I am ready.
Yes, sir. First of all, God bless you, sir. I just want to give you a compliment. I don't care about the hour and 40 minutes I put on hold, but I had to tell you this compliment. You made a statement that made human beings pause. You don't realize what you did. It was awesome. It was beautiful. It was heart-wrenching. It was motivating. And it was tear-dropping. You said, Shador, don't let them break you. That was beautiful, man.
I did say that. Matt, I did say that. Thank you.
All right. You take care. God bless.
You take care. Thank God bless you, too.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That wasn't it. He waited an hour 40
good to
for that?
See your Shador derangement syndrome's paying off.
Derangement syndrome? Oh, you knew it was going to be a compliment about Shador, didn't you?
No. No idea. You do have a little bit of Shador derangement syndrome, right? Just a little bit?
You call it how you want to.
I think I'm going to call it how thing myself.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I think in telling Shador Sanders to go ahead and not fall for the banana in the tailpipe that this team continues to go ahead and try to put out there to the masses that he's not ready to play in NFL games. I just don't know why any player would just cave to that and be like, of course they're right. I'm not ready to play in NFL games. Like, no, speak on it. You know you're ready to play in these NFL games. Don't let them beat you down that way. You tell everyone. You get your chance with the media. You tell everyone that you're ready to play in these NFL games.
Super Chat's going to see you pointing aggressively.
Listen,
there.
Super Chat. You know I'm right, Super Chat. Okay? It doesn't make any sense.
By the way, our guy Pranav, another Super Chat today.
Was it another $4.99?
No, it's $1.99. Pranav's not made of money here.
Okay? I thought he was. I thought at $4.99 yesterday. I thought he was. Is tomorrow going to be 99 cents? How low can you go in a Super Chat?
Oh, wow.
There's got to be a limit.
He's the only guy in Super Chat holding up the Super Chat. I'll say that right now.
If it's only a penny gets you into a Super Chat, then that's not good use of a Super Chat then, because they would just...
I disagree.
Well, you would put your comment to the top for a penny, which is a great way for a bargain, but like from an economical standpoint, not really the best business model that YouTube would put out there. Like you have to have, there has to be a bar there that you have to be able to clear. I don't know what that bar is though.
I'm going
to
say a penny.
But thank you, Matt, for the compliment. I appreciate that.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you.
I thought
I was going to get more of a compliment on that, but it's okay. Let's get to the quarterback Deadpool real quick here.
Your derangement syndrome doesn't go hard enough, I guess. He's only here for the Shador compliments. He's not here. You notice this, Jake? He's not here for the any of the Shador derangement syndrome convos. He's here for the Shador compliment convos.
I would say any sort of conversation with you is going to be a Shador derangement conversation.
Whatever. The point being... You notice
that's called a tepid acknowledgement, by the way.
He's like, when YouTube compliments me for defending Shador, I like that. I'll take that all day. Uh-huh. But then when there's like any hint of you also being a little bit of a fan of Shador, you're like, I'm just Switzerland.
I'm a Browns fan. I'm a Browns fan. So I want Shador to do well the same way I want Dylan Tuimoloau to do good because I'm a Browns fan.
Yeah.
I think the idea that I would be a Browns fan, but I'm a Shador fan first would be strange.
But that's the part that I think is so wild. It's like I'm rooting for the Browns quarterback here.
Because you're putting that above everything. It's not offensive. Well, it is offensive to some people.
I'm not saying to you. I'm saying, but to some people. Yeah. Why would that be so offensive?
Because they don't like Shador. And maybe you're...
Why is that my problem?
Maybe your defense of him is over the top?
Nah.
I've never heard you criticize Shador.
You know me. I know. You've known me long enough to know. I got one speed in this, okay? If I love you the way I love Shador, I love you. That's how this works.
I think that's
Shador,
the point. Maybe Shador hasn't earned that level of love yet in the NFL.
Wow, detractor of Shador over here. YouTube, you heard it here first. No, I'm a hater of Shador over here. I watched the college tape, friend.
I know Johnny down the middle, all right? I know...
Who's Johnny down the middle?
Who is
in
fair.
What world have you ever known me to be Johnny down the middle?
I mean a man who's fair and balanced in the way he attacks things with Shador. I mean, the whole damn thing's out the Shador, okay? I think I'm getting to you.
You're just describing a person that's not me is all you're doing.
I think most
I'm
topics.
I'm down the middle and most, fair and balanced.
Most topics, I'm like, world? whatever Jonathan will have to say on this, it's going to be a straight down the line, however
Literally,
he sees
no
it.
No one's ever described that as me. Never. Straight down the line?
But with Shador, I know it's just going to be a pro Shador take.
No, stop yourself.
I've never heard you criticize Shador once.
When he does something that deserves criticism, I'll be there at the front doorstep.
I don't think you will.
He hasn't done it.
I don't think you will.
No, I'll tell you this right now. If he stinks up the joint, I'll be the first one to be like, that wasn't good enough, Shador.
Bold.
Well, what do you want from me? You're yelling at me for defending him or not trashing him.
Am I yelling? I don't believe I'm yelling. Jake, Commissioner, am I yelling?
If you're telling me that I'll never trash him and then I'm telling you the time I will trash him, yes, that is in many senses bold. That is not exactly.
So the only time that you'll say anything bad about him is when he just plays bad on the field.
Hold on, I have trashed him before.
When?
I trashed him with his party before the draft. I said that was the dumbest thing you could possibly do was have that whole the whole legendary room and everything else attached to that. I was in the forefront of that.
Super Chat does not remember it that way.
Shador, you're dead to me. Nick Wilson, you're dead to me. How about that?
Oh, over Shador. We've been friends since 2016, and now you've chosen Shador derangement syndrome over me.
You chose violence in this scenario, and I don't know why.
Did I
don't know why.
What did I do?
I don't know why.
What did I do? Now you're attacking me? This is Shador derangement syndrome.
I'm attacking you.
You're losing friendships over this.
I thought you were enjoying the idea that, like, although you aren't part of the Shador camp, like, you get connected to the Shador camp because of my... My defense of Shador and the idea that I know he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
I do.
And I maintain that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. And so, like, you latched on to the praises that YouTube offers up. Yesterday in the chat, I don't know if you saw the YouTube video we put out there, Jake. I'm sure you saw it as well. Somebody in the comments below said, thank God Nick has been sticking up for Shador the entire time. Got like 30 likes.
Yeah. Well, no,
like
no.
Like the people want to embrace your love of Shador as well.
Because
I know you
I
have
stick
it in
up
you.
For him
I know
when
you
it's
have it
worth
in you.
Sticking up
but
for.
But then you have these segments like this.
When it's not worth sticking
say,
it up
you
for,
say I have Shador
I don't
derangement
stick up
syndrome.
For
you have segments like this where you say I have Shador derangement syndrome and you just lose all credibility in the Shador camp and conversation.
Listen, I'm
you lose your credibility.
This is why I can't be part of the Shahive.
You're not.
Because I'm worried about actual credibility. I'm worried I'm worried about everyone understanding that when Shador does something that or when the reaction to Shador I do think is insane, I'm gonna stick up for it. When the reaction to Shador is appropriate, then I'm probably going to say that I agree with the reaction to Shador.
Okay, but you do agree with the idea that if the rhetoric that the Browns put out there consistently has been the idea that Shador Sanders is not prepared, is not ready, cannot play in an NFL game today, Shador shouldn't just go sit up there in an interview with Mary Kay and all the reporters and be like, yep, they got me pegged, right? Nobody would do that.
Well, yeah, but
would you do that to yourself?
But who's saying that what he's saying is wrong? I haven't seen that.
Nobody's saying that. You're making the suggestion, though, by me sticking up for Shador in this moment, that there needs to be some sort of, I don't know, anti-Shador rhetoric coming out of my mouth today.
Well, no,
and it makes no sense. Like, this is not the time for the anti-Shador rhetoric.
I think it's more the way you framed it. Like, don't give up. Don't let them break you. It's like, I don't think they're going to break him. I think he's going to be fine.
No, I just think you should stick up for yourself in this scenario of your Shador. Like,
I think it's just saying the common sense thing, which is I can play. I know I can play.
Yes, it is sticking up for yourself.
I don't think it's him rebutting the narrative. I think it's him being asked, do you think you can play?
100% him rebutting
him going,
the narrative.
Yes, I think I can play.
It's multiple times that he has now rebutted, the exact narrative that he can't play. He's telling
he's
everyone,
answering a question
he's telling
multiple
everyone
times.
Don't buy into what they're trying to sell you here. I can play and I can start in this league. You have to. I would have thought you'd love
this. He's asking a direct
this.
Question.
I would have thought you'd love this.
If he's asked, do you think you can play? There's the one answer, which is yes, I believe
no,
I can
was
play.
Asked
that's
about,
not striking
he was
down
asked about being a backup quarterback and preparing Dylan Gabriel, and then he turned it into the idea that he can play in the NFL, and he deserves to play in the NFL.
Mm.
Like, that's just confidence in yourself. Like, it's wild to me that you're on the wrong side of that.
Mark, see, again.
Wild to me.
Just very one-sided. Mark saying, Nick turning into Jeff Phelps over there, throwing a little shade. I will say this about myself. I throw a lot of shade. Just so you know.
I'm going to get you an awning for all that shade.
There's nothing subtle about the shade that I throw.
All those flavors, all right? You choose salty. It's an interesting look for you.
I'm like the Randy Johnson of throwing shade. Hard and fast, baby. Pranav also saying, JP, SC is not created by Dolan, so $199 is minimum. That was funny. I did not see that. It's a funny Dolan joke. I will allow that.
So we got the minimum from our guy?
Yeah.
Pranav.
Pranav.
What is it?
Pranav. Pranav.
That's how you're saying it. Not how you're saying it, how you look when you're saying it. That's cracking me up.
It's my face. There's nothing I can do about this face. I don't think we're going to be able to do quarterback Deadpool here.
No,
Commissioner.
640.
Commissioner,
we'll
640. We're going to get to quarterback Deadpool because we got to get to our guy, Cash Lovett.
It's time to put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
And Cash joins us now on the fan hotline. Cash, that was the show Quarrel that you had to be a part of. Sorry to bring you in on that note, buddy.
No, it's a fantastic note to be brought on because, we're going to be talking about the Browns in a little bit.
That is fair. We do have Thursday Night Football tonight. Eagles 4-1 coming off a loss. They've got the Giants, who are okay under Jackson Dart. How do you see this game?
Yeah, a lot of these Thursday night games, short travel, the Eagles offense has looked in shambles. I think they're going to run the ball, get this game over with. I like the Giants +7.5, keep it close, and hopefully we don't see a Scatabo fumble right there in the red zone again.
Yeah, hopefully not. All right, Cash, let's take it to the college game before we touch on the Browns to close things out. Bama at Mizzou. We're trying to find out if Mizzou is serious in the SEC. They're undefeated, we know that, but can they hang with Bama?
Well, it's going to be a real big step up in competition that Mizzou has been playing. The running back Hardy that transferred in from, I believe, Louisiana Monroe has been absolutely phenomenal. I don't think he's had underneath 100 yards a game. Alabama has certainly been giving up a lot of rushing yards, most of it to read option kind of styles, nothing like what Mizzou's going to be doing. Unfortunately for them, I think they are going to be sitting in misery as Alabama rolls -3.
Cash, I know there are still people who say, okay, Indiana's a good team, maybe a top 20 team, maybe a playoff team, but they're not elite. Well, they've got a heck of an opportunity on the road. Fernando Mendoza and company heading up to Oregon. Two undefeated teams, Fernando Mendoza versus Dante Moore. I'm inclined to go ahead and take Indiana, my friend. How are you feeling?
Are you? Even though Big Game James has said that all of that travel is really difficult to deal with, and you know you're going to be playing a big, bad Oregon team with those giant 300-pounders, five-star recruits, Nikes, the Ducks are going to be flying. I think Kurt Cignetti is not going to be asking for anyone to Google him after this game. I think Oregon's going to set a statement, and they're going to cover that 77.5 with ease.
Michigan at USC. What do you got here, Cash?
USC, they betrayed me. This one's a little bit of the heart. I saw that defensive line get pushed around by the Illinois offensive line. I think Michigan's going to be able to push that same defensive line around. Justin Haynes is going to have a big game. The only thing to watch out for is USC has one of the best receivers in the country, Malachi Lemon, who I believe has had 100 yards in every single game. He's going to have a big game. It won't be enough. Michigan plus 2.5.
All right, that leads us to a game that looked closer than I think the maybe average fan might think here. I believe it's 5.5 points last time I checked the line. The Browns heading to Pittsburgh. It's been a minute since the Browns have won in Pittsburgh. How do you see this one, buddy?
Well, and it's been a minute since the Browns have had a home game. Three straight road games. They went up to Detroit. They flew overseas. We saw Dillon Gabriel throw a couple passes over the sea, as a lot of those were just going out of the back of the end zone. Unfortunately, I do not see how the Browns are going to put up a lot of points. I think Pittsburgh and DK Metcalf are going to have a big game and unfortunately cover the spread. Pittsburgh Steelers minus 5.5.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.